Bless you, choir, and thank you, Dr. Patterson, for that great introduction and for the invitation to come and be here on your beautiful campus. I have enjoyed coming in yesterday afternoon, enjoying these trees. We don't get these in Pampa, Texas. I live in the part of Texas where you can see your dog running away for 2 weeks, and it is a blessing to be here on your beautiful campus and to be among you today. And as I look out across this student body, I am encouraged, Dr. Patterson, about the future of revival in the Southern Baptist as I see men and women of such great potential. And thank you for obeying God's call, not only to enter into the ministry, but to follow him to Southeastern Seminary and be the great preachers and teachers and missionaries of tomorrow. And I want to speak to you today about your ministry from the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. I want to speak about the ministry of the minister. Dr. Patterson, you and I do have something in common in our both attending Hardin-Simmons University, and I want you to know that after I took several stands in Texas, they also removed me from the mailing list. And so we have that in common. The 28th chapter of the book of Exodus, actually, that entire chapter would be our text, but because of time this morning, I'm just going to ask you to take that passage, and we'll look at various verses in that passage of Scripture throughout this sermon this morning as we worship the Lord, and ask the Lord, what is it that the minister is supposed to do? What is my ministry that the Lord has called me into? And I want to share three ideas from the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus this morning. And first of all, I would like to talk about the priority of the minister. Minister's priority is a ministry unto the Lord. Exodus 28, verse 1. The Lord says, "Then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me." To minister as priests to me. Down in the 41st verse, it says, "You shall put on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests." If I could just say one thing to you this morning, I believe I would like to share this first point of this sermon, and that is that the priority of the minister is to minister unto the Lord. We forget about this too many times. We come to the point where we serve the congregation. We're a minister to them, or we're a minister to the deacons, or we're a minister to whatever group it is that happens to be under our watch. And we forget that the heart of worship and the heart of ministry is Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about him. And I'm afraid that too many times in my own ministry, I've needed to come down and get down before the Lord and say, "I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it." When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. There is a passage in the book of Acts that speaks about the church at Antioch, and it hit me one day as it said that they were together ministering unto the Lord. Ministering unto the Lord. And then this passage says that I am to minister unto the Lord. You know that God has called you into the ministry. I've met one or two fellows that I thought were Mama called and Papa sent, but I believe that you believe that you have been called out by the Lord God Almighty, that he reached down and he touched you and he called you out from among his people and he said, "I have a special task for you. I have a special job for you. I have a special assignment for you." And sure, the church ordained you into that and the church confirmed that and the church gave you a certificate about that and the church said, "Yes, we see that in your life," but you know very well that it is not the church that called you. It is God himself who called you. Now, what we say in Texas is you got to dance with the one who brung you. The one who brung you is the Lord Jesus Christ as he reached out and ordained you and anointed you as a minister unto him. We obey God or we obey man. We know exactly whom we are here to serve. And it's not mankind. Our priority in ministry is to minister unto the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that seemed rather odd to me when I first began to look at it. I know how to minister to people. I know how to be a blessing to people. I know how to serve people. I know how to help people. I've gone to the hospital and prayed at their bedside and ministered to them in that way. I have done funerals. Dr. Patterson, in a community like mine, you become an expert at funerals. I do about a funeral a week. I know how to do funerals. And I know how to be a blessing to that family and minister to that family in their time of grief. I know how to minister to other people. One time I was even called to pray over a poodle. I know how to be a blessing for others. But when I open up the scripture and it says that my priority is to be a minister to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God Almighty, I wonder how in the world can I minister unto Him? I read that 103rd Psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I can bless another individual, I can bless a congregation, but how in the world can I be a blessing unto the Lord? In the 6th chapter of Acts, it gives us a hint about this when it's talking about the calling out of deacons. And you remember that those early apostles said that it would be bad for us to neglect the ministry of prayer and of the word in order to serve tables. You see, those ministers in that day realized the priority of their ministry was to minister first of all unto the Lord. And I believe that we do that through the ministry of prayer and the word as we make it a priority in our lives to spend time each and every day with our Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father and God the Spirit, all working within us as we're together on our knees in prayer, and then we open up God's wonderful word and we just begin to hear from Him and we begin to allow Him to speak in us and we begin to allow Him to move in us and to have His way in us. We minister unto the Lord by a ministry of prayer and in the word. In the 33rd chapter of Exodus, verse 11, it has a wonderful verse in there as it talks about a ministry unto the Lord. You know, I believe we minister unto the Lord by being a friend to God. An astonishing concept, but in Exodus 33, it says that the Lord used to speak with Moses and commune with him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. You know, I believe one of the chief reasons that God has called you out into the ministry, Even above pastoring that church or serving in that mission field or that teaching post or that ministry job that will be yours, I believe the priority reason that He has called you out is for you to minister unto Him as a friend of God. He would like to call you out today, and what excitement that brings to me to know that God touched me and God put His hand upon me and God looked down on that day, March the 20th, 1987. I'll never forget it. God said, "I want you, Randy White," and He wanted me to be a minister to Him in prayer and in the Word and communing with Him as a friend to friend and then as being a servant to the Lord. See, in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, you remember Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." He had that ministry of worship. "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And it comes to the end of that passage, and the scripture says that Isaiah heard the word of the Lord. "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah jumped up and shouted, "Here am I, send me. I'll be your servant, Lord. I'll be a minister unto you." Now, certainly that's going to take a great deal of your time. If it's a priority, it's going to take a priority in your schedule. And you already understand how busy you are. And many of you today are even using the excuse that you haven't spent the time in God's Word. And you haven't spent the time just walking with God as a friend to a friend. And you haven't spent the time down on your knees. And you haven't spent the time listening to the Lord. And you haven't spent the time obeying the Word of the Lord. Just because there are so many other things that come across your agenda and your schedule that you have to do. And we become very busy in the ministry. Ministers are the busiest people in the world. And we just don't believe that we have time to do it. But I want to tell you, about two-thirds into my ministry, I finally decided that my priority was going to be to minister unto the Lord. And several verses came to me that helped me to do this. And one is that great verse in the Psalm that says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in what? Vain that build it." And that scripture said to me, "Randy White, you can work as hard as you want to work." And I was working hard. I was spinning on that little wheel like a squirrel. I was out of breath physically. I was out of breath spiritually. And the Lord said to me, "You are working in vain." He said, "Let me build the house. You minister to me." Except the Lord build the house, you labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watch over the city, that guard watches in vain. And then Proverbs, the 10th chapter, the 27th verse, also spoke to me. That scripture says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life." Now that word there, translated life, literally means days. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. In fact, some translations have it, and I think rightly so, "The fear of the Lord adds hours to the day." The fear of the Lord makes your days longer, the reverence of God. And so I have come to realize as many things that there are for me to do, as many sermons as there are to preach, as many funerals as there are to officiate, as many weddings as there are to take care of, as many administrative duties as there are in the church, that I don't have time not to spend time with the Lord. I don't have time not to pray. I don't have time not to be in His Word. I don't have time not to walk with Him, because I have discovered, as I make that a priority in my life and a priority in my ministry, that He begins to build the house. I tell you, it's a wonderful day, preachers, when you discover that this sermon, which is to be a word from God, I spent years working so hard on my sermon, diligently preparing those sermons, preaching those sermons, and then looking back on it, realizing God had very little to say about that sermon, because I never consulted Him about it. Oh, it was true to the Word. It was true theologically and scripturally, and it was true according to all of the homiletical practices, but God never had a word in that sermon. And I realized one day that if I'll let the Lord build the sermon, He'll do it. I'll spend that time with Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him, and then allowing God to speak out of the overflow of my life. And all of a sudden, sermon preparation becomes so much easier because God has given me a word for the people. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Today, would you determine that in your life, in your ministry, your priority is going to be to minister unto God Almighty. But then secondly, I want to share not only your priority in ministry, but your purpose toward man. In ministry. Certainly we do serve a congregation, and there is a group of people that we are given as under shepherds, and we are to serve them. And your purpose in ministry, down in verse 12 of our text, it says, "You shall put two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of memorial for the sons of Israel. And catch this, Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for a memorial." These stones on each one of his shoulders with the names of Israel engraved upon them. And when Aaron would go in to minister unto the Lord would see those names, and they would serve as a reminder that this is God's people and that he is there to take care of them. And down in the 29th verse, it says, "Not only on his shoulders, but Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters into the holy place for a memorial or for a reminder of the Lord continually." What is the minister's purpose towards man? It is to carry their name and their need to the Father. To carry their name and their need before the Father. You remember Moses, don't you? And interceding for his people in the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. Carrying the name and the need of God's people before him as Moses ministers unto the Lord. You remember Paul, the first chapter of Philippians, as it is in the first chapter of almost every one of his letters, as he says, "I thank my God in every remembrance of you, in every manner of prayer, I carry your name and your need before God." Jesus did this, don't you remember, in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. He comes and he says, "Father, I pray for these disciples, and not only for them, but all who shall come after them." He's carrying their name and their need before God. And I believe if my priority is to minister unto the Lord, then my purpose as it relates to my congregation is to carry their name and their need before God. And I do this. It's one of the most exciting aspects of my ministry to my congregation. I write a letter to my congregation. It takes quite a few months to go through the entire congregation, but every day my secretary hands me a little card. It's got five names on it, five names of individuals whom I have spoken to in advance through a letter and said, "I'm going to be praying for you on this day, and share your request to me, and I'll lift those names up to the Lord God, your need to the Lord God." And I want you to know that that one ministry alone has tied my heart to my people's heart more than anything that I've ever done. And that one ministry alone is so appreciated by my people that they know that their pastor, wherever he might be, is carrying their name and their need before God, and he is interceding on behalf of them as he spends time in the Lord. And the blessing that the church receives in this manner is absolutely tremendous. In the Leviticus, the 9th chapter, in the 22nd verse, it speaks about this. It says, Aaron, you remember, he's got those names on his shoulder. He's got those names upon his heart. He's going in and ministering to the Lord. And then he says that Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, and he blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out and blessed the people, it says the glory of the Lord appeared. But interestingly enough, not just to Moses and not just to Aaron, but the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. You know, when you'll take that purpose toward man to be to carry their name and need before God, your congregation is going to receive a tremendous and a rich blessing. And how I encourage you, those who are over your watch and your ministry, that you make it a priority to minister to the Lord first of all, and then your purpose toward them will be to carry their name and their need before God. But then I want to speak to you about the passion of the ministry. Your passion needs to be holiness. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and shall engrave on it like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. That little medallion that Aaron was to wear upon his turban, he was reminded of his passion in ministry was to be holy unto the Lord. Now, someone out here looks at their own life already and knows that set apart as holy unto the Lord is not exactly what would describe your life. Maybe you consider, well, the Lord will look over that. There's no problem. I can still put together a strong ministry, even though my life behind closed doors is not holy unto the Lord. But I want you to turn in your Bible to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. It speaks about this need for holiness in the priest's life. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 says, Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, they placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. You see, they decided they weren't going to be holy in their duty unto the Lord. They were going to do it a different way. They were going to do it their own way. They were going to cut some corners. They were going to come up with a man-made idea. How many times do we do that in the ministry? Can I chase a rabbit for a moment? You know, the Lord, he gives us so clearly the way that we're supposed to do our ministries. So clearly and so specifically and so intentionally, he tells us that the tithe is the Lord's, and bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. But we look at it and we say, you know, that's not really working very well, and so let's have a spaghetti supper in order to raise money for the work of God Almighty. I know of one church that has every year the world's largest garage sale. I think probably it's a lie in the first place, but there's bound to be a bigger one somewhere. And every year they have the world's largest garage sale to raise money for the missionaries, and I know that God Almighty is just looking down from heaven at them saying, oh, bless their heart. They're giving their junk to help pay for this mission work. Bless their heart. Now, I believe God's looking down and saying, I have already given you a way to pay for the work of the church and to pay for the work of sending missionaries around the world. And it's not a garage sale, and it's not a bake sale, and it's not a spaghetti supper. You pass the offering plate, and you ask the people to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and that work will be funded far beyond any garage sale, what any garage sale can do. You see, what we need to do is do it God's way. And we come into the Word of God, and we study the Word of God, and we spend time in that Word, and we see what thus saith the Lord is, and we decide that is the way we're going to do it, whether it makes sense or not, whether it seems right or not, whether the latest polls tell us that is the right way to go. We see that this is exactly the way that God has shared with us to carry out our ministry and our work as a church. And so here come these two priests, sons of Aaron, and they went about it a different way, and they offered a strange fire unto the Lord. And in verse 2 of chapter 10 in Leviticus, it says, And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, Is it what the Lord spoke, saying, Catch this, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored. Then it says, So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. Yeah, that'll shut you up, won't it? Does holiness matter? You bet it matters. You look there in the 10th chapter of Leviticus. You look there in the 5th chapter of Acts as it speaks about Ananias and Sapphira. You look through other pages of Scripture as it speaks about the holiness and especially of the minister. If anyone is to be set apart, it is to be the minister of the gospel. He is to be set apart in his duty. You see, too many times we do need to come, as that choir sang about just a moment ago, and we do need to apologize for the thing we've made of our ministry. We've made it this, that, and the other, but what it hasn't been is a passion for holiness and a purpose of carrying the name and needs of our people unto the Lord and a priority of spending our time with the Lord. And we have spent our time in so much duty, but I have come to discover that God has gifted people in the church and God has called out people in the church to carry on some things that I don't need to be doing. In fact, you look through this 28th chapter and then you read on the end of Exodus and into the book of Leviticus as the Lord speaks about the preparation of his tabernacle. And I want you to see how many times it says, now this fellow over here, he's gifted at woodwork. You let him do the woodwork. And this fellow over here, he's gifted in the metalwork. And this fellow over here, he knows how to do this artistic stuff. And he says they are called into that. In fact, right here in our text in Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, you shall speak to the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. He was given a garment to wear, but he wasn't supposed to sew it himself. You see, Aaron was holy unto the Lord. He was set apart in his duty. And you and I, as ministers of the gospel, need to realize that God has gifted some in administration and let them do it. And God has gifted some in artistic abilities and let them do it. And all of these gifts that God has given unto the body, let them carry it out. But I'm afraid that we don't realize that, especially for pastors, no one can preach and no one can pray like the pastor ought to be able to preach and pray. But we're spending our time on all of these other things. And so that one duty that we were set apart for is going undone because there's no one else in the church called to carry out that task. You're set apart, young man and young woman, as you're called into a ministry of the gospel. You're set apart to that which God has called you to, and you're set apart in your duty. You are to be different. Now, I know that some in your church out there, and someday, some will want you to carry out all of the ministries of the church. Some will want you as a pastor to really operate as a deacon. Some will want you as a pastor to really operate as a business manager, as a chief executive officer, and there will be all of these demands upon your life and upon your ministry, but if you follow those, you'll be going against the teachings of Scripture, and you'll be causing the church to miss out, to forfeit the great blessings of the reason that God called you out into the ministry. You are set apart in your duty to God. You're also set apart in your lifestyle. The minister of the gospel can't live like anyone else. The minister of the gospel can't have some of the same practices that others may have. They shouldn't have them either. But I believe with all my heart that the minister of the gospel is to be the purest man in town, the cleanest man in town, the most prayed up man in town, the man who lives the life of perfect integrity. And some of you need to go home today, no doubt, and you need to call the cable company and you need to tell them HBO is coming into my home and I don't want it there anymore. Hell's box office can't come into the home of a minister of the gospel. Some of you right now need to go home because you know you've got a problem on the internet and you get there late at night and you look at some things that you shouldn't be looking at and you need to pick up the telephone right now and you need to put in a filter on that. I've got a filter on my computer because I don't want even anyone to say that there would be any possibility of some filth coming into my home and into my mind and into my heart through that internet. I've got one of those filters that it doesn't have a password override. I can't even pick up the phone and call and tell them to cancel it. It takes an act of Congress to get that thing off of my computer. And you need to go today and get the very same thing on your computer. And if that's a problem with you, you need to find someone who can be an accountability partner to you to help you through that and to live a life of holiness. They say what gets the minister is greed, girls, or glory. Probably so. We need to watch out in our lives and make sure that we are set apart as holy unto the Lord, set apart in our duty, set apart in our lifestyle. And I believe also that the minister of the gospel is to be set apart in his anointing, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You read the book of Leviticus, and it's all about holiness. It is about how the priest of God is to be ordained. They are to go into the presence of the Lord Almighty. And I would have to say, looking back in my ministry, there are too many times when I had to look over at some godly woman or godly man in my church, and I would have to say to myself, you know, that person prays more than I do. I can see it in them. That person knows their scripture better than I do. I can see it in them. And that person loves the Lord better than I do. I can see it in them. And that person is more filled with the Spirit of God than I am. And I can see it in them. And that person has the power of God on their life more than I do. I can see it in them. And I need to repent of that, because if I am called out as a minister unto the Lord, I ought to be more filled, more anointed with the power in the Spirit of God than anyone else in my congregation, because I am set apart as holy unto the Lord. And when people come into my presence, they ought to be able to see that there is someone who has walked face to face with God. There is someone who has been in the presence of God. I don't believe the minister in any way is set up on an ivory tower far away from his people. But I do believe that the minister, right there among his people, can be set apart in their anointing, set apart in their lifestyle, and set apart in their duty. And so I just encourage you today to look at this biblical role of the minister and ask yourself, my priority, what's it been? Has it been to obey God or to obey man? Has it been service to the congregation or has it been service to the Lord? Has it been to bless some individual or group of individuals, or has it chiefly been to be a blessing unto the Lord? What is my priority? My purpose toward man? Am I doing all of the different duties out there that aren't mine to begin with, and I'm neglecting that duty of taking their name and their need before God and asking them to reminding God of his obligations towards his people and his promises to his people? Every pastor has people who come into his office say, "Pastor, do you do counseling?" Well, let me tell you, I hadn't had 30 minutes of counseling training in all my life. But I thought, well, I'm a pastor. I can't say no. You're supposed to say, yeah, I do counseling. And so I'd sit them down there, and they'd tell me about their marriage problems. They'd tell me about their problems with their children. They'd tell me about their financial problems. They'd tell me about their personal problems. And all I knew to say was, golly. But you know, now when people come to me and they say, "Pastor, do you do counseling?" And I say, "No, but I want you to come see me." And they come tell me about their marriage problems, and I say to them, "Now, I can't help you in counseling, but I can help you something better than that. I've got this little prayer list right here that I carry along with me every day, and I'm going to put a page in there for you. And I tell you what, let's just get down right on our knees right here, and let's begin to pray for your marriage. Let's begin to pray for your son. Let's begin to pray for your daughter." And my counseling to them is so much more powerful. Pardon me, my prayer for them is so much more powerful than any counsel I could ever give them. I carry their need before the Father. And Father God ministers to that marriage, ministers to that depression, ministers to that family, whatever the case may be. What's your purpose toward man? Is it where it ought to be? And then what's your passion? Is your passion holiness? Holiness. Holiness. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, what a tremendous joy is mine to be able to be a minister of the gospel. And so, for so many years, dear Heavenly Father, I said no to you. And how I thank you for not giving up on me. How I thank you for giving one more opportunity, that opportunity to which I said yes. And what a joy and privilege it has been. If I had 1,000 lives to live, Lord, I would want to live them as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to minister unto you, to carry the names and needs of people to God Almighty, and to live a holy life. What joy is mine. What rewards have been mine. So I just thank you for calling me as a minister of the gospel. And I thank you for these godly young men and women whom you've called out for a special task in the kingdom. Lord, I pray your blessing upon them, your spirit upon them, your power upon them. And I pray that through their life, their priority would be to minister to you. Their purpose would be to carry the names and needs of your people to you, and their passion would be to be set apart as holy unto you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, my wonderful Redeemer. Amen.